I've been dreading this. Thank you in advance for listening to my story. So I was 9 years old. I was at the beach with my family. My dad was holding my hand. And he was trying to... I didn't cry when I practiced. He was trying to teach me how to get into the ocean without the waves knocking me down. Sorry. I can do this. Okay.
You just have to say it and then you're going to tell it.
I'm going to tell it.
You're going to tell it.
So, there's this moment when he decides we're ready to get in. I was not ready. I pulled my hand away and ran as fast as I could away from the ocean. And I hear behind me, God, I hear behind me this slapping sound, and I turn around, and he's lying. Sorry. God. He's lying face down on the sand, and the waves are lapping over him, and the people on the beach swarm in around him until I can't see him anymore. And I thought, I just killed my father. But I didn't, of course. So that night in the hospital, his heart stopped. And the doctors told us later that it was amazing that they could bring him back, because he had been technically dead for so long, and they shouldn't have been able to bring him back, technically. But they did. And that was the day the life of our family changed. My mother, who had been a full-time housewife, went back to work full-time. My father, who had been working full-time during the week and teaching at the university on the weekends, could no longer work. They replaced a valve in his heart, but for some reason, which I didn't understand when I was 9 years old, he couldn't go to work anymore, so he started a business out of the basement of our house. He made maps. He was a cartographer, so he started this cartography studio in our house. And things were changing. My brother was there, too, of course. And I don't talk about him much in this story, but he exists. I love my brother. So he, things were different. Like, we wouldn't get our Christmas tree like a month before. We'd go to the Christmas tree lot the day before Christmas, my dad and me. We would bargain with the guy, you know, and we'd get a tree, and we'd get home. My dad would be too tired to help me decorate it, and my mom would be working too hard, so I would decorate the tree by myself. But that was great. We got our tree. And things just were different. My dad was there, whereas I hardly ever saw him before. He was there all the time. And he saw me in a way that my mother never saw me. He saw how shy I was, and he encouraged me to join the school choir, which was really scary. I still sing today, and I love it. And he would help me. He noticed that I was kind of dyslexic like he was. He would help me with my writing assignments and things went on like this. My dad kind of in and out of the hospital, in pain, never really sleeping very much. My mother working, supporting all of us. My dad working when he could. And then by the time I was in high school and got my driver's license, my dad could not drive anymore. We had like two mortgages on the house. I would drive my dad anywhere he needed to go. And he got back into photography. I would go with him. We'd take walks and do photography. He'd develop them in the dark room in our basement. And we got to be really close. Like, I didn't, you know, I hear about people rebelling as teenagers. You know, when your parent is dying, you don't have time to rebel or even think about rebelling. I remember funny things, like I would come home late at night and my dad would be there. He was always there. He'd be on the sofa and he'd want to tell me about all the books he was reading. He was always reading like three or four books at once. And if I woke up early in the morning to go to the bathroom, he was there. And we would often like sneak out to breakfast together, and he would tell me stories about his childhood during the Depression in New York and hitchhiking across the country as a teenager to raise money for his family. And we just became really, really close. And I stayed home after high school a couple of years and went to the community college and worked for my dad more, and we took more photographs and we spent a lot of time together cooking and all kinds of things. And then I graduated from the community college and my dad was like, you know, if you want to be an artist, you should probably go out there and live your life. So he kind of encouraged me to apply to art schools, and I moved to Baltimore. MICA was the closest art school that I got into, and I decided to go there. So I was in Baltimore like a month and a half when my parents went to Johns Hopkins University, and they looked at my father's heart, and they said, he has about a year to live. So it's like a month and a half into college. Great news. So actually, they said a year. He lived a year and a half. I got to go home that spring break before he died, and we hung out, and I dressed up in my mother's wedding dress, and he put on his best suit, and we took these photos of each other. And then a week after spring break, I got the phone call. He was back in the hospital. He was, I mean, there's so many things I'm not saying, like how my friends would like still go over to the house and hang out with him, you know, even after I moved out. Like, he was such a cool guy. Like, but anyway, I went home and got to sit with him in the hospital the day he died, and he had all these tubes in his throat, so he couldn't speak, but I knew that he knew I was there. The way he held my hand, the way he held the ring that he had given me, he felt it with his fingers, so he knew it was me. And I always think, I mean, of all the things he wasn't there for, I think about that too, but I think how lucky I was that I didn't lose him at 9. I lost him instead at 20. So I'm just so grateful for how he loved me and taught me to love, and what a complete different life I would have had without him. That's all.